Do you agree with Joe and Anna? Come on, I love my church. Come on, let me hear you say it. Say, I love my church. I love my church. I love my church. I love my church. Woo, I love this church. It's not my church, but we're part of the big church. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I am so grateful to be here at this incredible church. And I agree with Joe and Anna that this is an incredible church. You know, churches like this don't just happen. Come on. That doesn't just happen. Somebody gave to this before we got here. Come on, can I get an amen? I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this church. But you know what? Churches don't just pop up. I know we live next to Disneyland. I'm telling you right now, like Tinkerbell, she's just gonna put pixie dust all over it and it's gonna happen, right? That doesn't just happen over my life and your life. And it's led by great leaders. And great leaders like Pastor Josiah and Marie. Amazing leaders. I look up to them. I love the anointing on their life. I love the way they lead their family. Love you. They have passion for the house of God. And incredibly gifted, communicators. They were with us back in April. Thank you for releasing them to us. They came in April. And they were a powerhouse. I think you already know that. But can I remind you that you have a powerhouse couple leading this church? And it flows from the top all the way down. And it can happen in your life. And I'm telling you, if you're single, have big goals, have high standards, because you never know what God's gonna do and how God is gonna bring you a spouse that loves the Lord. And I was single once, and I had high goals, but I'll tell you about my story. But before we do that, can we thank the Lord and honor Him? Can we welcome our online family, everybody, that is here today? And let me see, man, where you at? Where the men? You were at camp, come on, all right. Ladies, if you're standing next to a man that went to band camp, I want you to say, get your stuff back. Yeah. Ooh. Okay, let's pray. Yeah, get your stuff back, girl. Let's pray. Father, we just come before in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this amazing place of worship called Freedom House Church. We thank you for your presence and your power that is here today. I thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, you've been moving even before the worship. You were moving in their homes before they got into the parking lot. And God, I thank you that they've gotten to the parking lot and they've gotten into this sanctuary where you can grab their attention and speak to our hearts today. Lord, help them to hear your voice beyond my voice. And I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise and all that you're doing in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, can we thank the Lord one more time, everybody? Amen. And before you sit, give somebody a high five, fist bump, elbow, chicken wing, hug, something to somebody around you. Do the hustle, something like that. It's so good to be with you. And can we give some thanksgiving to the worship team that has been here all weekend? The volunteers, the servants, the dream teamers. Wow, you ran out of room. You're running out. You don't have any more room. You got no more room. That's why I'm so glad that you guys are looking at, you're going after Catella, and that you got 1.2 million left to make it up. Come on, somebody, let's go. In a church like this, in all your campuses, you got this, you got this. I got good news for you. Here's the good news. The good news is the 1.2 is covered. Come on, somebody. Yeah. You know what the bad news is? You still got it. Just kidding. Anyway, moving right along. So we're going to have to release that in this offering, and it is going to be incredible. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 today, 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to share a message with you today. It would be my honor and privilege bringing some aloha from the 50th state. And thank you, Pastor, for telling people about Lahaina. We need to pray for it. It is, that city is devastated. And thank you for praying for the people of Hawaii, because it's not just affecting one island. It's affecting everybody else. And so many people are trying to get in and to help. And we just want to make sure we help and not hurt while we help. Can I get an amen? The main thing that we help. 2 Kings chapter 4. My privilege was here today, this past week, to be able to come and speak to your men. I believe Pastor Josiah has an anointing for men, not just business and ministry, but for men. Pastor Marie is an incredible women's pastor as well as senior pastor. Woo! My wife was here about 6 months ago, and she just absolutely loved it. You met my wife, Lisa. But today, we're going to talk about the house of God, the house of God. It's really interesting on how the house, a house is related in many ways to church. We call it the house of the Lord. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. God often uses the word house to relate to his church. In Mark chapter 2, what a great passage of scripture, when the four men bring their paralyzed friend on a mat, there's no more room in the house. There's no more room. So they dig a hole in order to make more room. When I look at Eutychus, a young man who is I would call him like an intern in a young adults ministry, is sitting there in the book of Acts, and all of a sudden the great apostle Paul, who ever preached on this planet other than Jesus, is preaching the word, and this is his last time he's in this house. He's giving it all he's got because he'll never see these people again. And then Eutychus falls backwards three stories out of the house. It's a picture often on how people can fall out of church. But thank God for the house of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Thank God that you are in the house of the Lord today, because God does miracles in the house. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, the passion for your house consumes me. The house was so important. Jesus knew that he needed not just a church with the big C, but also the church with the building. And so when I look at what the precipice, the defining moment of Freedom House Church is going after this building on Katella, we were there last night. We were there last night. Me and Pastor Josiah, he had to show me. He said, I'm going to take you by. And when we were over there, I'm telling you what, they were like, I don't know what happened, but people occupied your parking lot. They did. All these Toyotas. It was a Toyota convention in the parking lot. Four-wheel drive Toyotas, old school Toyotas, new school Toyotas. Guys even set up a Snap-on tools tent, and somebody was making some food over there, selling food. All on your lot, y'all. What's up with that? But I can tell you this. Those people are going to end up in your church one day. They're going to end up in your church one day. And I'm telling you, Freedom House Church is a powerhouse church. This is a powerhouse church, and I've been to a few churches in my time, and I'm grateful for that, but I love your pastors. I can't get enough. I'm telling you right now, you are at the edge of greatness, and that's why you have to apprehend this and play a role in it, because you'll watch. When I was a young, when Lisa and I got married 30 years ago, come on, this September, 30 years ago. Man, I tell you right now, and it has been the best 30 years of Lisa's life. I'm just saying, I just got to say, tell the truth and shame the devil. You got to tell. Anyway, I got a story behind that. 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha, the prophet, the understudy to the great Elijah, says, the word says that one day that the widow of a member of the group of prophets. Let me say that again slowly. A widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out. A widow cried out, "My husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come. He didn't have life insurance. He didn't take care of business. He got caught off guard in the ministry full time, didn't do what he needed to do. And then they're threatening to take my two sons as slaves." Elisha said, "What can I do to help you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except the flask of oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Go into your house and your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil into your flask, into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told, and her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another, one after another. Then soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to her sons. "There aren't any more, 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 more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. And when she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Today, I want to preach a message that's going to relate to your life and my life, to the future of this church, and what God wants to do with your dreams and your goals personally, in the name of Jesus. Today's sermon is called, "It's in the House." It's in the house. I love this passage of scripture. I'm biased. I'm biased because I think about this widow. She's got to raise these two boys all by herself. We don't know what happened to her husband. Some scholars say that this might be Obadiah the prophet. This is the Obadiah that had hid the prophets from Jezebel, from Elijah. And so this man, we don't know. We don't know if it's actually Obadiah, but they believe that it could be Obadiah. Whatever it is, this is a man of God that was serving the Lord, and now he's got responsibilities. He's got a wife. He's got two sons. We don't know if he was in credit card debt. We don't know if he couldn't make his car payment. We don't know if he was on the verge of a repossession. But what we do know here is that something terrible has happened, and when she needs help, she goes to the best place that she can, to the man of God. She goes to the man of God, and his name is Elisha. And instead of Elisha said, well, let me take up an offering from all of the prophets from the school that you came from. Let me go talk to the alumni from the school of the prophets. Or let me give you some money because I'm blessed and I want to help you. He says to her, tell me, what do you have in the house? I'm not just biased because this woman is a widow. This woman, when you think about a widow, we normally would think it's an older woman, a middle-aged to older woman. But if I were to look at biblical times, they got married when they were 13, 14 years old. And so now during this time, I'm thinking that these kids may be like 8 years old and 5 years old, and she might be in her mid-20s to late 20s, and now she's going to have to do this. And back in those days, if you couldn't pay your bills, whoever you owed the money to, your sons would, or your kids would be taken as slaves until you finally paid the bill. Then you could have them back. She's in a really difficult situation. She's a widow. She lost her husband. Number two, she's about to lose her house. Number three, she's about to lose her children. But she goes to the right place. Everybody say place. You got to know the place to go. You got to know where you got to go. And I'm telling you, when you know a place to go, like a church like Freedom House, it's amazing what God can do. I'm not just biased because of she was a single mom, but I'm biased because I was once a single dad. I was just, before I met Lisa a long time ago, I'm telling you right now, come on, how many of you are, before you raise your hand, how many of you have been raised by a single parent, are a single parent, or love single parents that you know? Raise your hand. Come on, somebody, right? Right? And I'm telling you, when I see this, I see a picture of a church that is welcoming people. Well, how do you see that? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Because when I was 17 years old, I went to the big city. The men know my story, but some of you need to hear it again, or you've never heard it before. Before I was even a pastor, before anything ever amazing happened, I was a 17-year-old college student who went to the University of Hawaii. I went there earlier. I was 17 because I was a December-born baby, so my mom held me back because I was very smart. No, just kidding. She held me back because of December. I said, I wish you held me back till January. I would have dominated in my senior. Anyway, she didn't. So we still have that conversation to this day. But I remember that I went to the University of Hawaii. I'm a small-town kid. There's 120 in my graduating class. My town had 2,000 people. And when I go back online, I remember that I moved to Honolulu, and I had culture shock in my own state. The University of Hawaii was massive, 40,000 students. My class, my history class, had 2,000 students, so it was easy to cut class because nobody saw. Anyway, I remember that was part of my downfall. But then I found the clubs, because on the Big Island of Hawaii, there ain't no clubs, you know what I'm saying? I hope you're not in the club. I'm just sharing my experience. Anyway, did you come from the club last night? No, you didn't. The late service, that's the clubbers. Anyway, moving right along. So anyway, I ended up going to the University of Hawaii, and I fell in love. Like for the first time. Like I like girls, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But the pool was smaller where I came from. You know what I mean? Not a lot of girls. And they were all taken. They were all taken. And they were beautiful. And but I had to, I went to Honolulu and I met a girl and we fell in love. And how many of you know, as Sheryl Crow says, the first cut is the deepest. And it was deep, bro. I'm telling you, it was deep. But how many times, you know, when you play with fire, eventually you're going to find out that something's going to happen. And there was I became a father at the age of 19. I'm 19 years old. I got to quit college. My mom was so mad at me. Dad had a hard time because they knew that you had a future ahead of you and you could have gone to college and this and these things. And now you got to go work. And I'm working. And so now that I'm working and all of a sudden the relationship with her mom and I doesn't go well. We're two people who don't have God at the center of our life. And we start spiraling downwards because Jesus was not in the middle. There was no even conversation about God. And then all of a sudden, she was going this way, and I was going that way. And when I finally said, wait, what are we doing? Let's stop this. This is getting out of hand. And I couldn't. She wanted to go in that direction, and I stayed here. And guess what? I got the baby. And so I am 21 years old now. I've got a 2-year-old girl. Things are very, very difficult. I'm struggling financially. I'm living on my own. I'm so mad. I'm hearing stories. I'm becoming the person I don't want to be. I'm becoming angry and hard. But at the same time, I'm still crying at night. My daughter is 2 years old. She's patting me on the back. And I'm not trying to look for her to comfort, but she's comforting her daddy. And she don't even know what's going on. But she misses her mom too. And so now I'm going through this place, and I promise you, if you've ever been there before, that you've been in a place in your life where it has been so difficult that I considered what would it look like if I wasn't on the earth. I considered what it would look like if I imagined my own funeral. And I thought about taking my life, and I thought about becoming violent. I was homicidal, and I was suicidal in that place of my life. And I thank God that there was a church that had a guy that became one of my best friends, and he worked with me, and his name was Brandon. He would tell me every day, man, you got to come to my church, because you could see what was going on in my life. Back in the day when there was beepers, you know what I'm saying? When dinosaurs roamed the earth, I used the beeper. And I get these text messages on my beeper, and I'd be like, he'd look at what, you got another, yeah. And it was a really hard time, and he would tell me, you got to come to church. Thank God for the house. Come on, somebody. He said, you got to come to church. I didn't want to go. As a matter of fact, I said, I like God, I don't know about church, because I didn't really know because of the way that I grew up. The church that I went to when I was a kid was there was only memorization. There was nothing, it was all here and never went here. Grateful for the upbringing, thankful for it, but it never sunk in. And at the end of the day, that's my responsibility, nobody else's. But I want to show you a picture of how bad it was and what I looked like in case I did not make it and I hired my friend to take this photo. Here it is. That's me. I still look the same. She grew up. No, just kidding. Anyway, this is Courtney. Courtney, my daughter, she was 2 years old, 1.5 at this picture. And I was 20 or 21 years old. And it was in this place and time that my friend Brandon and people had been praying for me, and he said, you got to come to my church. I said, I don't want to go to church. You got to come to my church. He kept bugging me every single day. Every day. In fact, every week and every day. Go, you got to come to church, bro. Finally, he thought this would work. Bro, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. That didn't work. That even pushed me even further away because I knew I needed him, but I don't want you telling me I need Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I want to tell myself I need Jesus, not you to tell me I need Jesus. And finally, he went from bugging me to finally he said, look, if you come to church, this is what I'll do. I'll buy you breakfast. He started bribing me. Bugging me to bribing me. I said, you know what though? I was weak at that moment. I said, okay, come on. How many of you love a Grand Slam special every once in a while? I'm gluten-free now, but I'll go for a Grand Slam every once in a while. And he said, I'll buy you breakfast. Come to church. I'll take you and Courtney there. And I was scared. I was nervous, like some of you might be today if this is your first time. Welcome. I was nervous. I walked in, they had drums. It was doom, doom, cha, doom, 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 cha. My heart was going doom, doom, cha, doom, 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 cha. I don't know what to expect. I don't know if somebody's gonna like lay hands on me all of a sudden. This is like in the 90s, y'all. I don't even know what church looked like. I don't even know. And so I come into church and all of a sudden they take my daughter, Courtney, this way. She goes, ah. They take me this way. I go, ah. They're like totally separating us. They seat us in the second row. Who sits the new guy in the second row? Obviously no usher training, obviously no excellence at that time. And I'm sitting in the second row, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at the worship words. And back then, some of you, show your age. Overhead projectors, y'all, in worship, with clear transparencies. Come on, I can see your age. I can see it from up here. And I was looking at the words, and I'm telling you, God saved me. I can laugh and smile about it now, but man, I tell you, back then, I was desperate. My heart was hard. I was soft on the inside. I knew I needed God because I thought I knew him. I had pride. I wanted to fight all the time. I was on edge. I was in my Toyota, my Datsun B210 back in the day, 4-speed. I got on the intersections. I'd fight at intersections because if you looked at me the wrong way, I know, I don't look like it anymore, right? I'm angelic. But back then, I was angry. I was lost. I had no purpose. And when a man doesn't know his purpose, he's dangerous sometimes. And I was dangerous. When I'm sitting in the second row and I'm seeing the words to the worship, I'm telling you, I came from a karaoke background, karaoke to y'all. I'd sing and drown my sorrows in alcohol and love songs. And I had a soul to sing from. And I would sing songs and people would give me the dollar. Can you please sing that song for me? Sure, what song? Kissing a Fool by George Michael? Sure. Can you sing that song by Luther Vandross? Sure. Can you sing that song by Menudo? I said, no. And so when I come into church for the first time, listen to me in the corner with the kids. When I go to church for the first time, I see worship words. They look like love songs to God. And I'm telling you, they had me at song two. Song two. And then all of a sudden, the preacher starts preaching. He was more teaching than preaching. And he was teaching, and the word was getting through, and I'm sitting in the second row, and I promise you, I really thought this, that my friend Brandon wrote down all my sins, folded in a piece of paper, slipped it to an usher that gave it to the pastor, and while he's preaching, he's killing me softly with his words, killing me softly. And I, all of a sudden, I'm like, he's talking straight to me. He's talking to me. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit in the place going, this is, I'm tailor making this message just for you, Michael Guy, and for that man in the back, and for that lady right here too. No worry, I can do all of that. And he was grabbing me. And I gave my life to the Lord that day. And I fought and waited for 3 to 4 more years for a reconciliation. But in the meantime, everybody, I stopped going to the bars. I stopped doing karaoke. Somebody say praise God for that. And I'm telling you right now, I kept myself pure. I was single at the time and still celibate. This is not the same thing, y'all. Because I was saving myself. I was saving myself. And I remember by the time I was getting my healing, because I didn't want to bring that into the marriage, but I brought a little bit. And we would be a blended family right away. I'm telling you right now, I prayed for a wife. And some of you, I'm telling you right now, you got to pray. Don't just take anybody. Now anyway, moving right along. And I said, that's for the online people. That's for the online people. Don't get desperate. And here's what happened. I said, Lord, if I could ever have a wife, Lord, can she be 5'7"? I'm not kidding you. I'm seriously. I prayed for height. Pastor Jack Hayford said, pray specifically. I came from a background and said, who are you to pray specifically? Who are you to demand? I wasn't demanding. I was only asking. I said, Lord, 5'7", because I wanted taller kids. I remember what it was like being short. 5'7". I said, Lord, can she be gorgeous Chinese? Gorgeous Chinese. You got to be specific. Gorgeous. Gorgeous Chinese. Because I thought we make beautiful kids together. And Lord, can she love Jesus more than me? Because if she loves Jesus more than me, we'll make it through anything. We'll make it through anything. I want to show you the picture of redemption. That is the picture of redemption, everybody. My wife in the dark green, I call her my Asian persuasion, she don't raisin. Before there was Asian hating, I was Asian dating. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, God, you gave me a gift. And then there's Courtney, my daughter Courtney, on her left. They're best friends, but it's rough in the beginning, but best friends. My son-in-law Jason, my 2 grandkids. I know, I don't look like a grandpa, right? Thank you. And there we are. Bowie, after David Bowie. Otis, after Otis Redding. We use biblical names, they use musical names, whatever. Anyway, I love my kids, my grandkids. And then right next to it, my daughter Kara, senior in high school. My daughter Becca. Becca was a fiance in this photo. She said, can Elijah be in the picture? I said, no, not until he really puts a ring on it. We got no fiancés in family photos. You got 2 more months for the wedding. Let's make it happen first. Then you can come into my photo. Well, let me tell you, it happened in January. And this is a picture of the wedding on January. Anyway, there it is. That's my son-in-law. He's one of the greatest entertainers in Hawaii, a worship leader, and he's a big Samoan boy. So I got bodyguards. Anyway, moving right along. So what am I trying to tell you? I found my wife in the house. I found salvation in the house. I found my purpose in the house. And that's what God gives you in the house. There is nothing more important than a church on fire. And I'm telling you, a church can change lives like nobody else can. And that's why Freedom House, this place that you have, is too small. And that's why we got to go for Katella. And we got to make up that 1.2. And Inspire Church is going to help as well. Because why? Because I've seen the power of a house of the Lord. I have points, so I'm gonna give them to you because I have to. Here it is, number one, don't overlook the small things. She says, all I've got is a little bit of oil. All I've got, didn't take up an offering. She says, all I've got is a little bit of oil. How many of you know that all you got is all God needs? When it's even a little, you put it in God's hands, God can multiply it. God can multiply it. When Lisa and I got married, and when we got married, our first year of marriage, and I'm working for American Airlines, I used to load bags, load them. And I worked as a valet, and I sold bottled water. And Lisa was working for the church that we were at, and we praised God for that job. And she said, look, what are we going to give for our miracle offering? We called it Faith for the Future. And I said, I don't know. Let's pray. Let's go seek the Lord. And you know what it always was? Back in the day, Lisa always had the lower number because I had more faith than her. Anyway. But now we're like even, and we came out with a number. For us, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you because I'm a pastor or as a pastor. I'm telling you that when I was single, I was already tithing. As a single dad, I was given my 10%. I remember when I saw the envelope come by, and my friend was in the back with his wife, and I said, bro, what's this envelope? What's the word here, tithy? What's a tithy? So, bro, that's tithe. I said, what's a tithe? He says, when you give 10% to the Lord. 10%! I was given to my 401k when I was 19 years old at American. I got hired at a very young age. I said, are you serious? 10% off the gross or net? He goes, gross. I said, dude, that's gross. He goes, what you want, gross blessings or net blessings? I said, I want gross blessings. So I did it off the gross, and that was supposed to anyway. And I have never missed a tithe check since I was 21 years old. So when it was the offering, I could go above and beyond. I could go above and beyond, and we did. Number one, don't despise the little things. Some of you are despising, all I've got is just a high school education. All I've got is just a GED. All I've got is a little bit of trade school. All I've got, come on, let me tell you right now, don't overlook the small things because all you got is all he needs. All right, here's number two, I'm gonna hurry. Number two, then is I want you to, he says, believe big, not small. What do you mean, believe big and not small? Believe big and not small. He says to the widow, he says, go to all of your neighbors and grab as many jars as you can. Okay, obedience comes in now. She could have said, nah, that's not my thing. She said, okay, I'll go get jars. He says, go to your neighbors, borrow as many jars as you can. And when we think jars, we're thinking, small jars, we're thinking mayonnaise jars or marmalade jars. No. Jars back in those days were big jars. Jars a little bit bigger like this. Jars like, oh, my love, my darling. Those kinds of jars. Your age is showing. I can tell you your age is showing. And he says, get as many online as you can. So she sends her boys to go get them. I'd imagine they're like 8 and 5 years old. Johnny, I need you to go take your little brother and go get jars from our neighbors. No, I'm not going to get jars from our neighbors. Johnny, I need you to go next door and go get jars. Take your little brother with you, please. Uncle Elisha said that we need jars. I'm going to do mommy this favor. Don't give me any stress. Go get some jars. I'm not going to do it. My friend's going to see me. He's going to end up on TikTok and Instagram. I'm not going to. You're going to take your little Miguelito. You're going to go. And they go. And they bring the jars. And then he says, shut the door. Everybody say it with me. Say, shut the door. You know why you gotta shut the door? Because what God is about to do, some people are gonna criticize. Some people just won't understand. Pastor Josiah, some people, they don't know what happens in a room like this. They don't know. I'm telling you right now, I remember when I was like, why are you giving so much money to the church, Michael? I said, Mom, because God's done so much for me, I'm grateful, and the Lord commands the tithe. She didn't understand. She didn't understand until she and Dad get saved. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's why you got to shut the door. Because when you shut the door, you create the right environment. Yeah, she didn't want no negativity from the neighbors. What you doing over there, Hazel? What are you doing, Hazel? She didn't need that. She's like, this is me and my two sons, and I got to create the right environment. And you are in the right environment, my brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is here. I'm telling you, this place is on fire. I'm telling you, God is moving. You should have seen the man conference. It was amazing. Amazing. They went from B small to B small. Oh. B small to priest mode. And we got our stuff back. And I showed them my keychain. Anyway, moving right along. Create the right environment. Here's number four. And the worship team can come up. Number four. Pour first, and then God will fill it. When you pour first, God will fill it. Can you imagine? I use my imagination, y'all. Come on, think about this for a moment. Use your imagination when you read your Bible. Read your Bible. And use your imagination. How old is she? I don't know. How old is the kids? I think. What kind of jars? Yes. Okay. Can you imagine the pep talk and the prayer that she's got to give the boys? That they're all in that room together? Oh, Lord, you got to come through. They've already lost their dad. They're about to lose our house, all the memories, their neighborhood. And Lord, I could lose them as slaves. And how do I pay this back? I'm in a tight spot. God, you got to move, because if you don't, their faith will be hurt. They've already lost their dad. And God, would you please help us? I could see her boys. Uncle Elisha said that we got to pray. We're going to pour this oil. This is all mommy has left. There's no more flour. There's nothing left. There's no meat. There's no potatoes. There's no chicken. No fish. There's nothing. And we're going to pour this in. So I want you to pray, oh Lord, would you please bless this oil in Jesus' name. I can just imagine all of a sudden she begins to pour. They're all around it. And she begins to pour. And the oil begins to fill slowly. But the supply of oil never runs out. It begins to fill, and she says, next! And all of a sudden, the son brings the next one, and they're all excited. So, oh my gosh, mommy, can you see? Oh my gosh, mommy, it's filling. I know, get ready. 1, 2, 3, next! And all of a sudden, the oil keeps on flowing, and the oil does not stop. Because why? Because if you keep pouring, God keeps filling. See, we are blessed to be a blessing. I'm just a conduit of the blessing of God. You're a conduit. A conduit of God. It comes to you, through you, so that you can get it. God can get it through you. Everybody say, icon. Say it again. Say, icon. Say, I can do it. I can do it. You can do it too. I'm telling you. Flows through you. And when it flows through you, God wants to get it to you so it can go through you. And that's why generosity in this offering, but in your life, is a principle. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. That's what Proverbs says. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. For some of you, it's a baby step this today. For some of you, it's a big step. And some of you, you're gonna see your destiny attached to that envelope, that pledge, or that one time, or the one time and a pledge, however you're gonna fulfill it. You know what? All I know is this, it's a God-inspired sacrifice. God, what do you want me to give? How much do you want me to give? It's a God-inspired sacrifice, but it also is a God-supplied gift. God supplies it. He gives seed to the sower. If you ain't sowing seed, not getting seed. God gives seed to the sower. And then here's the last thing. 5, as we keep bringing, God keeps filling. Bring me another jar, she said. And the son said, there aren't any more. And then the oil stopped flowing. If there were more jars, the oil would have kept on going. Jars. And more than a cute illustration today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we have this treasure. What's a treasure? The Holy Spirit. In jars of clay. What are we? Ultimately, we're jars of clay. We're made from the dust, formed and fashioned from the first man, Adam. God breathed the breath of life into Adam and he came alive. And when we die, we return to dust. Decomposition takes a long time, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about? We return to dust. We have this treasure in jars of clay. If you keep bringing jars to the house of God, the Holy Spirit will always flow in this house. Come on. If you make it about the jars, it's not about us anymore. It's about them too as well. It's not only about us. When you keep bringing jars, you invite Mikes, you bring in Brandons, and you bring in Cheryl's, and you bring in whoever, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your mom, your dad. When you keep bringing them to the house of the Lord, you naturally ain't gonna run out of room. But if you make it about the jars, it's about the people. The oil will always flow. And not in this place, Pastor, but I've seen it when There ain't no more jars. It's the same jars all over again. We start mixing them. Start mixing oil. Oh, let me pour into you. Oh, let me pour into you. Let me pour into you. Let me pour into you. We're pouring into the same people, y'all. But nobody getting saved. Not this church. Not this church. But if you make it about the jars, all kinds. The Lord told me when I was, he spoke to my heart. I didn't hear an audible voice. I rarely get those, but I get them in my heart and I get them in my head. And sometimes they come through people and often through the word. But the Lord impressed upon me, he says, I'm 26 years old and Lisa and I are newly married. And I felt the Lord say to me, with the envelope I was looking at, if you build my house, I'll build your house. You build my house, I'll build your house. I was a renter back then. You build my house, I'll build your house. And I believe the same is true for all of us. When you think you can't buy a house, you watch. When you think you can't qualify for that loan, you watch. When you give to the house of the Lord, you make him number one. I'm telling you, you watch. Take notes. Let your kids watch. Let them give to an offering. Their lives will never be the same. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus. Can we pray? Father, we just come before you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence and your power. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody.